Welcome to The Kelly Roach Show, the place for no fluff, easy to implement, 20-minute or less business and leadership lessons to help you build a sustainable business that scales, lead with integrity, and create a lasting legacy. I'm Kelly Roach, former NFL cheerleader and Fortune 500 executive turned eight-figure entrepreneur. Let's get started. Welcome back to The Kelly Roach Show. I am so excited to have Sarah Connell here with me today. Sarah is one of our amazing clients that elevates thought leaders, helps people get their name out in the world as best-selling authors, as TEDx speakers. She's kind of like the magician behind the curtain for so many business leaders, thought leaders, innovators, entrepreneurs, and founders. And Sarah, I'm so excited to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Kelly.
Yeah. So why don't we tell everybody, since they're just getting to know you, a little bit about like your journey, how did you get into the space that you're in, and then kind of what you're doing with people today?
For sure. So I had this experience, maybe some people listening can resonate. I got out of college. What I really wanted to do was be a writer. And my parents were like, get a job, right? Understandably. And I took a corporate job. And it was supposed to be this wonderful, exciting, you know, advertising agency, yeah, one of the best places for women to work. And it was at the absolute like center of the Me Too era. And it was awful, right? It was traumatizing. It was toxic. It was all the things that we've all seen in the movies that hurt people. And unfortunately, people listening, I'm sure, have experienced. And I also, Kelly, because it's you and because this is how we get to talk in this community, I think it's very interesting that I knew what I felt called to do, which was in the space of books. And I ignored that calling out of fear. And I knew what God was saying, you know, come do this. And I said, oh no, I got to do what my parents say, whatever. And I didn't believe in myself and I didn't believe I was worthy. And so all those things led to me taking this job that ended up, you know, being a nightmare. And there was a day I was flying back from a trip to Boston, back to Chicago where I live. They're calling my flight and I see a bookstore. And again, I always wanted to be a writer. I inhale books, right? It's just like, those are lifelines and inspiration and all the things. I know we share that. And I see this bookstore and I was like, I need a book. And I had no time to read. I just randomly grabbed a book. It was called Holy Hunger by Margaret Bullitt Jonas. I always want to give her a shout out. And I read the whole book on the plane, in the way home. And by the time I finished reading the book, I said, that's it. Like that one book, finding it at the right time. I quit the job. I had spiraled into a really, really life-threatening eating disorder. I knew I was going to die if I stayed on the path I was on. It was like, this is just not going to go anywhere good and only going to get worse. And so that book, that one moment of someone reaching through, I never have met, still to this day, I credit her as saving my life. And I quit the job. I went and got help for my mental and physical health. I rebuilt my life. And I said, even if I fail, what am I got to lose at this point? Like, this is killing me. So I went and I just said, I'm going to go for it. And I started writing and I thought, I'm going to pay this gift forward. Truly, it was about like the reason I do what I do is to pay for the gift of that woman sharing her story when I needed it. And that's what I do today. It's like, I want your book and everyone listening. I want your message, your methodology, your lighthouse to be in the airport on someone's darkest day.
That's amazing. I'm crying right now. Okay, so that's just amazing. And I couldn't agree more. I feel like books change lives. Like, absolutely. Like, I feel like there's so many people that either have a book inside of them that they've never gotten out, or they've written the book and then they've never worked with someone like you to actually get that book out in the world and change so many people's lives and touch people. So, Sarah, when you help people, like, talk to me a little bit about like where are your clients with their book when they come to you usually? And then what do you do to help them get it out in the world? Like, how do you help them finally?
The key.
Yes.
It's like I jokingly said to you, we call it like putting your flag in the ground. You know, we live in this 2.9 second attention span world right now when we're filming this. And why write a book? And yet Gary Vee and Brené Brown and Michelle Obama, the minute they get their next big idea, the first thing they do is they write the book. And they put the flag in the ground because in 2.9 seconds, they're not going to read the whole book, but you're going to see Kelly's name and your picture and your expertise and your and just say, oh, best-selling author, like this is my person. However, as you know, there's a huge difference. You can write a book, and I have done this, and it's like a tree falling silently in the forest. No one read your mom and your cat, like that's it. That's the reach, and that's not okay with me, right? And so what happened for me is, you know, I started, you know, writing and everything, and then I was able to get my first book. I was so blessed. Like I got to be on Oprah and I got to, you know, be published in the New York Times and these things happened. And I just said, this is my mission. Like, this is it. Like people get to make that impact and that roar and lead a movement. It's really about leading is a portal to the movement, right? So what we do is we don't just help people do a book, because if I just came in and said, I'll help you edit your book and whatever, again, nothing's going to happen. The thought leader pathway that we use, most people come to us and just say, I know there's a book in me. I'm so overwhelmed. I have no idea. So like, we got to. So our team is helping draw the book out, put the book together, and reverse engineer a book that's not just all over the place, but is strategically engineered with very specific moves that are authentic, but also make a high, I call it the high converting thought leader book. Because otherwise, people look me up on my website. No one is going to look you up. So these books are interactive, embedded. I love participant films out of Los Angeles. They said, we don't want to make documentaries. And everyone goes, oh, that's horrible. And then goes home and eats whatever. And then nothing changes, right? So it's like that with books. It's like, we want the book before someone's finished reading to be hiring you. Before that book is done, and that happens through compelling story. It happens through your framework and methodology, but it happens through interactive experiences. So we help people build a book portal, build a funnel for the book. If you have a business, scale it with the book. If you don't yet, you get to build a business behind the book and then go out and speak, because you know, Kelly, you do it. It's like, that is like writing a book, one of the most powerful, whether it's a TEDx stage or someone's mastermind or a conference, it's so important. So we put all those pieces together in a continuum, and that's what I find can take you to seven figures as a thought leader.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It's so powerful. And it's so important, because I think what happens a lot of times is people finally get done the book and then they're like, now what? Right. And they don't realize, like, I know for me, like, all of my books have been a major stream of income, and we use them for funnels and we run ads to them and we use them to drive consultations. And a lot of my PR appearances come from marketing the books. It's like all the things that you're saying. And I think that people just need someone like you to help them understand getting the asset done is the beginning. It's not the end, right? That's where the process starts. So I love that. That's so powerful. And with the clients that you've seen have the most success leveraging their book for growth, what would you say are like the top three traits of how they approach their work with you, Sarah, that really helps them put that flag, that stake in the ground, and then end up elevating the brand because of it?
The key is that people are willing to set big, bold outcomes that they want and then are willing to take the action steps. I'm sure it's very much the same. It's people who are like all in. You know, I would say if there was a trait, it's like the all in people. So it's like, I'm going to do this book and I am going to go out and speak. I'm going to be a media topic expert. I'm going to build a course. You know, some people want to do a course. People run retreats. Some people, you know, will create whatever people want to with their book. But it's people that see a big vision. I think they're visionaries, right? And you don't just want to say, I'm not the right coach, right? For someone who's like, I just have a bucket list to like write a book for my fear movie, which I think is beautiful. It is that fabulous. But we're here like to change lives, right? We're here to help people be like in the airport bookstore, right? So we've had our clients, you know, speak in front of the UN and go on major stages and all the major television networks. And it's like, that's who we're really, and you know, here to serve.
Yeah. You also do a lot with helping people with TEDx. So like, can you break down, like, what is that process like these days? I know everything's changing all the time, but if there's someone listening that has considered wanting to pursue the TEDx route, who would you say this is for and who is this not for? What does that process kind of look like today? And do you feel like that's something that a lot of authors should be pursuing from a growth standpoint? Like, talk to me a little bit about that.
It's such a great question. So I've always loved the TED brand, you know, just, you know, I've watched many of them over the years. And I've gone back and forth, like people say, how important is it? I have a book. So no one needs to do a TED talk, right? However, I do think, like being a best-selling author, it is another very powerful, instantly internationally recognized credential. I'm a big fan. If you're a thought leader and you're doing, you know, I say do it. And the key with TEDx is people need to be willing. It is not the same as pitching other speaking. So we have a very, you know, a proven process for people to pitch to speak, give keynotes, or, you know, do conferences. Yeah. TEDx is, it's 100% owned. We have our clients go through in their own boot camp, you know, just for TEDx, because TEDx is organizer run. So it's like this whole different animal of pitching and putting your application. What they don't want, this is useful for anyone, what TEDx doesn't love is someone who's like, I've done my talk 8,000 times and I want to come in on the TEDx stage and promote myself. Like, that's never going to happen. And well, that's what I love about it. You're going to create a new work of art for the TED brand and look through the lens of an idea worth sharing. So it comes down, a lot of times I tell people to play with titles, and I show our clients like the top 100 talks. and you want to do something a little provocative, why forgiveness doesn't work. Well, you know, the talk is going to be about that forgiveness does work, but it's going to be about maybe not the way we've been taught. It's like starting with a question. You know, you can do a question title, you can do, but I think for people listening, you're going to want to just be willing, if you're up for it, for two things. The first is be willing to put your expertise through the TEDx lens so that you approach those organizers and the people booking the speakers respectfully around their mission, not kind of going like, I'm a leader and I do this. And then the second piece is you're willing to, it takes sometimes 80 submissions in order to be selected for TEDx. A lot of our clients get it sooner. I'm a big 100 girl. So it's like when I was pitching books, originally getting agents, like we have our own publishing arm now, but in the beginning, I was like, I'll pitch 100 agents. It's like 100 outreaches to fill an event. I will do it. Because if I set my mind to 100, we just focused on action. Like I cannot be in like, oh, rejection. And it just burns it out.
Exactly.
Put myself through this rigor. And I have our clients and they go, oh, she's going to say 100. I know what's coming, right? So it's just plan on submitting to 100.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I mean, obviously your business has been wildly successful and that mindset that you have has carried into obviously what you've been able to do with your brand, which is amazing. And we're so lucky to have you in our world. So this is just incredible work, Sarah. And for you, like, obviously, I can see you have just this fire in your soul for helping people that can help people to get their voices heard, which is amazing. And I think that that's probably what rings through very differently about people when they do this work with you. They can feel that heartbeat of the business for sure. So that's really, really cool. Sarah, so you're a part of a couple different communities that I run and that are in my world. But today I want to talk a little bit about the Advance because you have not only been a member of the Advance and now you're leading one of the cities for the Advance. And the Advance is still a really new concept to my world. A lot of people are like, well, what is the Advance and why should I join it and who is it for? And that's why I think them kind of getting to know someone like you is a great example of for all the people listening. Like, these are the kinds of people you're going to meet inside the Advance. These are the levels of leaders that you're going to be working with. But for you, Sarah, obviously there's a million and one networking organizations that you can join. There's lots of communities you can be a part of. You're obviously at the level in your business that you can access whatever network you want. Why the Advance?
Yeah, it is a combination, Kelly, because, you know, I was all in for, all right, we're doing, you know, Empire Builders and Heroes. There's many, many things that I love about the community and the ecosystem that you've created. The Advance is so cool because I had been feeling like maybe many people post-pandemic never kicked back in to get back into actually getting together in person in a networking site. It just sort of didn't come back around. And I had really built a lot of my business in the beginning by guest speaking in very small local areas. It was a really big way. I mean, we doubled every year until last year. I mean, just once we get to seven figures, it's a different game, which is why I'm here training with you. Getting to a million, you know, we've just been doubling. And so one of the big ways were those in-person connections and were like networking. And I think two pieces, part of it was like, I'm too lazy after COVID, you know, like, I don't know, like going, figuring something out, but I'd gone to like other, I won't name names, but you know, the ones we've all heard of, like these international networking organizations, and it never aligned with me. It never, ever felt authentic. The timers and the kind of just pitching and it felt masculine and it felt just transactional, right? We've talked a lot about that. So when you created and brought the invitation forward about the Advance, what excited me so much was this conversation about the evolution of networking and the next level, because networking at its heart is relationships. And that's it for me, you know, and for you too, and many of us listening, I'm sure. And so I love the idea, but they're just, I hadn't found a place that was aligned with my values and the way that I love to connect with people, more depth, less transaction, more relation.
Yeah.
And so that initially was the exciting feature. Like, I want to be doing this. And this gives me a structure and a reason to not only participate in an international online, you know, community, but also to get my butt out the door. And I live in Chicago. It's a very fun city. There's a lot of cool stuff here. It's like, get your buns out there and be connecting and be of service. So that was really an initial reason. And I feel like, you know, with what you and Ty and the other, you know, leaders and the Advance are, again, it's not, oh, let's just create another group because we want to have one. It's doing it differently. And it's doing it in a way that is letting people be seen. So I run the Chicago local leader for Chicago. And we have had wonderful gatherings where people have expressed some of these same feelings, like, thank you, Oregon. Like, I haven't been to a networking event in 10 years.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to create it, because like I have Zoom fatigue. Like I want to get out and I want to meet people in person, but I don't want to have to get on a plane to go fly to a conference or to go to a meetup. I want to be able to do something in my own backyard, meet new people, have good conversations, do it in a relational, not transactional way. It's so easy in the internet bubble to forget that there's like a huge world out there of what I call the boring businesses, right? In the online world, $1 million or $10 million is a big business. But in the offline world, a $50 or $100 million is a small business, right? So I think just remembering that there's so much opportunity to build a connection, but you have to get out of your house and you have to have conversations and you have to do it in order to do it, right? I agree with you. I think we've all had that experience of a lot of the other organizations that exist. And obviously they're severely lacking, which is why we wanted to build this. But it's been really, really fun to have you a part of the world. And for you, what made you decide to actually be the local leader in Chicago? Like for individuals that are listening that maybe run million or multi-million dollar businesses that are considering this, why do you think it's something to consider in terms of being at the front of the room as a local leader?
Yeah, what I knew would happen, and this is again kind of like the 100 thing, it's like if I commit to this, I'm committing to host, organize, I have to show up, right? You know, it's kind of back to like old school, like if you volunteer for a committee, like you're going to show up. And so it kept me fully accountable to not just say, I want to do networking this year or like build deeper relationships in our local and extended community. So I knew that that would keep me accountable. And it also is what a gift, right? It's like for any of you listening, if you did want to lead a chapter or, you know, a city or something, that's you with visibility. That's you in front of the room. Opportunities like speaking engagements are a big part of how a lot of us meet people. And it was really the structure and the rigor of just saying, you know, this is happening. This is what's so beautiful, which it always is, right? When we say yes to something that's calling to us. I've been able to meet people who've been sponsors for some of our, you know, initial events, people that have venue spaces. And those are all ways like you and Ty and everyone here. I love the idea that the best way to get what we want is to help people get what they want. And so that's the energy of the gatherings we've had. I've been able to come to some of the Florida experiences as well, which is really exciting. And that's the cool thing. If you're, yes, we don't always want to get on a plane, but I do once in a while actually want to go see, you know, people. So it's not also just limited to something geographic, which I think is really unique and really wonderful. And we've really worked a lot. And what we're going to be doing in quarters two and looking ahead forward in the Chicago chapter is I teach a practice in our community called passioning. And so passioning is where it's like, let's say you have a goal to build your business, right? Or meet, you know, network or whatever. That's great. And like, what if the portal to that was already what you love? Like there was a way. Yeah. So it's really finding what are the people who are gathering just into right now? What are we passionate about? And then creating the gatherings around something that's exciting versus like, again, I'm going to sit in a room in the back of some restaurant and hear people hammer out pitches. It's like, no way, because the relationships will happen. The conversations happen. So we've done organic wine tasting. We did like soul cards and mocktails. You know, we've talked about the evolution of connecting and networking, looking at masterminding, like everyone brings, here's where I'm challenged and here's what's working. And we learn from each other. And so we're going to be doing artist dates, you know, or walking, meeting at a museum. We're going to do all kinds of things. And there's so much freedom and diversity in different members. And Kelly, thank you too for pointing. And in the entrepreneur world, we kind of have the bubble. And then you realize like you get to be, you know, with people in many different industries, which I really believe is important, especially at a time like this where you cannot just do what we've all been doing. It just won't work. Okay. So getting inspired and saying, oh, this person runs a $500 million, they're C-suite at this company. And I think it's super valuable. And I just wouldn't do it otherwise. That's the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's really easy to get into a very narrow way of thinking and being in your business where you only connect with someone if they're like a potential prospect to buy. Whereas you don't realize like meeting one person at a local event that found out about that event from someone else could be the person that then introduced you to your next 50 clients. But like when you don't get out of your own daily routine and get out of your own just like narrow purview, you're cutting yourself off from all of those possibilities. I know you mentioned earlier how you've gotten a lot of your business from like small intimate rooms. I have too. My best referral partner that I've probably made close to $1 million in referrals from, I've never pitched, I've never made an offer, I've never approached anyone, I've spoken in their very small, like I'm talking rooms of 10 to 15 yes. people, but it was because it's a curated room with high caliber individuals. And then one person tells another person tells another person. And I think that's the other thing. I've never really been a fan. I don't enjoy going to like huge conferences or events. I don't really go to them ever, but put me in a room with a group of thoughtful, powerful leaders that actually have big ideas that want to share with one another, that are invested in contributing. That's something that can open up big doors in a really different way that I think a lot of people don't even think about it. They don't consider it. You know what I mean?
We did an experiment in our coaching community called The Answer is in the Room. And we took a number of months and we said, what if we walked through like just the metaphorical room, the literal room, whatever you're seeking is here now. I believe that spiritually. And so we did an experiment in our community. And so we brought that into the advance events and just this principle of like everyone setting it. It's like, what would you love to come out of the event? And then letting it go and then just interacting, being present with each other. And of course, sometimes it's a thing you don't even expect. It could be a referral connection, a strategic partner. Sometimes it's someone saying, I changed to this new software, or there's a biohack and suddenly my sleep is 10 times. But I mean, I think that's so exciting about, again, a non-transactional, purposeful type of regular gatherings, because our answers are in the room.
I love that so much. And one of the other reasons why I thought it was so important to build a community like The Advance is for that reason, Sarah, because I found that when we're coaching people inside the business advisory, people are coming in to learn a very specific set of strategies. So we have to work very hard to progress people down a path, right? Many times they're coming to learn live launching, for example, or team building or putting systems in place. That takes a lot of energy and effort to keep that train on the tracks and moving, right? And you just don't have the space to be able to go over here and go over here and talk about this and talk about that, then this thing is going to fall off the track. And that's what you're responsible for delivering to your client in that world. And so I was really feeling that I'm like, there's a space and a purpose for this, for scaling in this particular way. That's really important lifetime value that comes with building the right network. And I feel like The Advance is filling a really important gap in that way, that even if someone listening, if you're in a coaching program or even in a mastermind, I run a very high level mastermind. The average revenues are like $3 million and above. But even there, we're very focused since people are coming. They want to build their team. They want help with systems in their business. They want help with their launches. It's still very, very narrow and focused because that's what people want to get out of it. Whereas The Advance, I'll go to an advance meeting and I'll sit down at a table and they'll be having a conversation and someone will mention that they're working with this person on this thing. And I'm like, I have been looking for that person for so long. It's like, you don't realize what you're missing out on when you have such a narrow purview. And that's one of the reasons also that I really want to make sure that The Advance, as it grows, fuses more of corporate and the entrepreneurial world. I think all entrepreneurs should have a couple corporate clients in their back pockets, right? And that's kind of a big part of my vision for The Advance. And I'm excited because I think Ty is really starting to bring in some people now, especially people he's infusing in the local Florida market that are in that offline world that come from a different place, as you mentioned, corporate sponsors and that type of thing. So that's where it's going as it grows. And I think that for all of us, one, get out of your house, right? Two, expand your network, expand your worldview, leave yourself open to like where the adventure can bring you. Like it's so fulfilling to get the nurture of a relationship that's not transactional, that isn't just on like one set path, but that opens you up to big ideas and approaching things differently that maybe you never would have thought of before. So I appreciate you so much, Sarah. So a couple things. First of all, for everyone listening, where can they get in touch with you if they want to learn about how they can get their book out in the world, they can pursue TEDx, they can really elevate their thought leadership? What's their best first step, Sarah?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Instagram is great. That's where it's so easy. You can DM me or just go to @, and my name is without an H. So it's SaraConnell. Send a DM because then we can be personal. I'm like you, Kelly, you know, I want to have a real conversation. So you can check out also what's coming up and what we're, you know, what we're up to and everything and Thought Leader Academy there. So that's a great place to go.
Okay, that's amazing. And you guys go and definitely follow Sarah on Instagram. And then obviously she runs live launch workshops as well. So make sure you follow, get on her email list so that you get notified the next time that she's going to be doing one of these workshops. I mean, she's a total powerhouse, nothing but value, and you're going to leave there so inspired and up-leveled and ready to just take your work out into the world as a thought leader next level, like immediately. The other thing is if you're listening to this today and you're like, okay, I finally get it. I get why I need to be a part of the advance. I get why it would make sense to invest in becoming a local leader and you want to learn more about that. I'm going to put Ty's information down below in the show notes. You can book a call with Ty. I'll put an overview of the advance. I'll put the application. You do have to be an established business leader to join the advance. This is not for new or emerging or aspiring entrepreneurs. This is actually for established leaders that already have a business in place and have a community that want to connect at the next level with other established entrepreneurs. So go ahead and fill out the application if it interests and excites you. I hope you all got some great value out of today's conversation. Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. We'll see you inside the advance, and we'll see you back here on The Kelly Roach Show in just a couple of days.
Thank you so much for listening to The Kelly Roach Show. If you enjoyed this episode, do me two solids. Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode, and leave us a review so other people can find the life-changing content that we share here. We're on our way to number one, and we need your help getting there. Thanks so much for being a part of the community and for tuning into the show each and every week.